This is the Don and Mike Show.
As smart as you are, you can survive without me. Never look in the eyes of those you kill. They will haunt you forever. I know. Bird.
The Don and Mike Show.
Let them prey on you, Don and Mike.
All right, standing by here to talk to the great John Voight. Let me see. He's not only, I think he's in D.C. right now filming the sequel to that Nick Cage movie, National Treasure. And he's he's got a movie coming out on May 4th. Called September Dawn.
Sounds great. Really does.
Now, welcome for the first time to our show, the great John Voight. Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, great to talk to you. Huge fans we are. I got talking like Yoda.
You know, it's funny when you're playing that clip before we got John on the phone, and you know, I think of the body of work that he has, and we have the one clip we have is from Anaconda. That is, you know, it's fun. Did you have fun making that one? Because we play clips from that all the time.
Well, obviously, it's one of the high watermarks of my career.
I
took a great deal of time deciding whether to do it, you know. Did a lot of research into snakes.
Did a lot of little thought went into it.
It was an important piece.
You know, John, you've been in so many great films. Another one recently, the original Mission Impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, the very first one with the guys taking off the faces all the time.
Right, yeah.
When we had not seen that before, it had done so well in a movie. You were absolutely outstanding in that. You're great in the movie Ali, as a matter
of fact. Howard Cosell. And really, you know, the thing, John, the thing that I think about when I think about your career, you've taken a lot of roles, I think, where people will say, John Voight is playing that character, and then you say, that doesn't sound like it's going to work, and then you make it work. I mean, have you felt that before? I mean, have you gotten that from producers or critics or anything like that?
Oh, sure, yeah. But you know, first of all, I've been a character actor all the way, really, with Midnight Cowboy starting off. Everybody got an idea that I wasn't going to be exactly who I am in private life on screen. So it wasn't that degraded a jump to doing the extra stuff, the prosthetics and the other things that I do to make the characters come alive. But I'm very, you know, I'm very glad that you appreciate it.
It's
great. I just want to listen to this show.
You know, I have, when my daughter was very young, we had a baby monitor, and we're watching Anaconda in a rec room with about five, six people. And I actually went up and imitated you from upstairs and said, good night, baby bird. I love everything you do. Dialogues come so easy.
I'll give you another one now. I'm not using IMDb here. Anyway. It's off the top of my head. I know these are all very recent, but even Enemy of the State. The Will Smith movie where you play the very uptight, buttoned down CIA guy who has his world turned upside down. You mentioned. Do you think what's the movie that you think you got noticed at first? Was it, you know, 30 years ago?
Probably Midnight Cowboy.
It goes a long way back. Yeah, I think Midnight Cowboy was, of course, my first break, and it was quite a phenomenon. And it is a great movie, so very proud to be associated with it all the time. And I go to different places in the world, you know, and I'm recognized. I've done enough work now that I seem to have touched different groups of people. For instance, little kids, let's say girls from 10 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at a young lady looking at me, and I look at her, and she's got a little smile on her face, I know she knows me from Holes, where I played Mr. Sir.
Oh, right. That's
it's really funny. And I look at them, and look at me with this look, like, I know who you are.
You know, when you mentioned
you crazy person. And then I say, Holes, and they go, aha.
You know, you made a joke about Anaconda putting a lot of time and thought into it. Every actor, I would imagine, has some kind of process where you're selecting, what you're going to do. Do you sometimes look at a script and say, all right, it might not be an important piece of work, but it's something that looks like it might be a lot of fun to do?
Well, I have done that. I mean, Anaconda certainly was that. Anaconda was, certainly was nothing wrong with it. It was a story of good and evil, and it was very entertaining, and it reminded me of the stories my dad used to tell at bedtime to us. He used to tell us these stories. We'd close our eyes and we'd imagine ourselves, and then they came through the storm in the Amazon, blowing the trees back and forth, and in the middle of it all, they saw light, and a man. It turned out to be a man isolated on a little island help me, he said, help me. So you're into the story. So it reminded me of something like that, so that's why I did that one. And I have a lot of reasons to do films, but I do take it seriously, and I kind of check the temperature of the time and check my own temperature to say, well, should this be done or should this not be done or whatever? And I say, well, yeah, this is something that needs to be said. In the case of September Dawn, which is coming out on May 4th, gotcha. That is what I felt. I read the script. I couldn't believe what I was reading, in a sense. I read it in one sitting, and then it was quite shocking, a quite disturbing piece, but fascinating all the way through. And I said, well, is this real? Because this was about the Mountain Meadows Massacre, which I hadn't heard about, and it happened 150 years ago this year on September 11th.
Wow.
Now, with that little information, I went deep into the research of it, and I found that everything in the film was true, and I thought it was very, very well crafted, so it included all the information necessary to be able to take the journey. And the reason why I thought it was important was because it related to religious fanaticism and what's going on today with the religious fanatics, the Islamo-fascists, I would say, more accurately called, that are threatening democracy in America.
Is it now? I read it briefly. Is it the Mormons that do the attacking here with this massacre? Or
yes,
are they
Christian wagon train. 120 something people were massacred by Mormons. And this was quite shocking. Now, of course, the Mormon religion today, the LDS Church, is not the same church that it was 150 years ago. Much has changed since 150 years ago. But it really helps us first of all, we have to bring truth to every chapter of history, and there's a lot hidden here. So it's very, very important we visit these places. In terms of the contemporary scene, of course, when people say, well, the Mormons did this or that, they say, well, we've got a fellow running for president who seems to be a pretty good candidate. Is this going to, be difficult for him? Well, I first of all, Mitt Romney was not on the scene when we started this film. There are wonderful Mormon people working in Congress. And this man, Mitt Romney, I have to say, is an exceptional person and seems to be quite eloquent about what is happening today. And I'm looking very carefully at him.
I think he's kind of a douchebag. I'm sorry.
No, you don't like Mitt.
I'm not a fan of his.
Who's not a fan?
Yeah, that's Don. I'm not a real
Don.
Big fan of
him. Don, do you know what you're talking about? I mean, this is D.C. I mean, you know what I mean? You got to really back up what you say. What are you talking about?
I believe I do. I believe that I didn't. Boy, before we talk about that guy, before you get mad at me about that guy,
listen, this has been so lovely thus far.
I also want to ask you, you're maybe my one of the greatest movies ever. I always talk about the movie Heat. I'd like to ask you about that. I'd like to ask you about The Rainmaker, because you're so good in The Rainmaker. My favorite scene in that movie is
you seem to have distracted from my concern about Islamo-fascists.
Okay, all right. Listen,
this is very interesting. Here's a Hollywood person coming on wanting to talk about something substantial. This is an event.
Well, that's John Voight. That's what you've done. I mean, over the years, right? You've got your causes, and you take them very seriously, right?
Well, listen, fellas. I'm not bereft of a sense of humor. And I certainly know that you're successful because you're very entertaining and smart.
Thank you.
So but I must pay respects.
We're entertaining. We're not all that smart, though. We're really not all that smart.
Are you really going to vote for that Mormon guy for president?
Now, just listen to me. Calm down. I know.
And here's I know nothing
down,
about
him. Young lads.
I really know nothing about Mitt Romney. In 30 seconds,
he's got a big square head, Mike. I'll tell you that.
Educate us about Mitt Romney. I mean, is this your choice? Are you endorsing him?
Fellas, I was making another point. I'm saying this movie, you know, when we view this movie, the importance of this movie is that, like with films like Rosewood, like Schindler's List, you'd think they're all made in an attempt to prevent future horrors. And if people understand the madness of men, no matter what their faith may be, perhaps it will prevent, horrors into the future. So that's the way to do this, you know, to really examine and bring the truth forth so we can learn the lesson of history.
And
right?
where I'm confused
sound
is
like
where...
an intelligent guy now, Don.
Where did Mitt Romney fit
now,
into that, though?
He's a Mormon.
I know he's a Mormon, but, I mean, did he have any... I mean, obviously... He didn't have anything to do
he's
with it.
He's not old enough. He's not quite 150 years old. So I think we can safely say he had nothing to do with it.
But I'm talking about even when, like, you were, you know, when you were researching it or shooting it, or anything, obviously he didn't have anything to do with it. But Mitt Romney, you brought him up, and I'm curious whether...
No, I brought him up because it's an obvious topic that Mormon, you know, with this movement... This movie about Mormons attacking a Christian wagon train and being religious fanatics creating a scenario that rationalizes the attack, the destruction of another religion.
I never heard of it. I never heard of that.
Right. So, I mean, it has to do with that. Mm-hmm. Now, does this have to do with all Mormons? Does this have to do with Mr. Romney? No.
And are you endorsing Mr. Romney as a candidate?
And what I'm saying is right now, listen, it's too early to endorse anybody for me, but I would say that he's very eloquent and he talks very, very... Just listen to me, guys. Just hold on a second. He talks very accurately about what we're faced with our current enemy and the situation we're in.
Okay,
so I'm appreciative of anybody who has an insight and can raise this issue in a proper way so we see what we're faced with.
Okay, well, you've made your point, and I think what Don, your point would be that you don't like him because his head's too square.
I thought the great John Voight would be on the other side of the fence.
Oh, you mean he hasn't endorsed anybody.
No. Well, he's virtually come out and said that this guy's an idealist.
Donnie?
Yes, John.
You mustn't pigeonhole me, Donnie.
Okay, I'll try. I will try not to. Sir, are you a Republican?
Don't suck up to me with this great John Voight stuff. You know what I mean?
All right, are you a Republican or a Democrat, sir? Republican or a Democrat?
Let me say this. I'm really upset about this idea of Republican Democrats being enemies to each other. I think that the real enemy is being overlooked in all this baloney, Donnie.
And who's the real enemy?
Who's that, Johnny?
there you go. There's my boy.
All right, sir. Who is the enemy then?
Who is the, you don't know who the enemy is, huh?
Well, I mean, were you going to say Taliban, the terrorists?
I'll define the enemy as Islamofascists.
Oh, so you
and I'm saying then this is a serious threat, and they're clever. They are clever in the use of propaganda. They can't defeat us militarily, but they're very, very effective, and they're making inroads. And we can see it in our college.
All right, let me ask you one question. I don't hate to interrupt you.
He is deep. I
want to say, where do you stand, really? And because it is the number one issue now, as far as whether we stay, whether we go, whether the plan is if we pull out, where are you on that as far as Americans want us to get out of there right now?
I know they do because, of course, you know, in every war there are casualties, and we don't like to see our boys being killed. Of course we don't. But on the other hand, I must say that there's something wrong with the media that doesn't report any progress we've made in Iraq or in Afghanistan. Can you imagine this? After all these years, we never, never receive on a news program progress John, what's been done.
John,
and what,
John,
and what
John,
the sacrifice has been made for.
Oh, sir, the great John Voight, please don't tell me that you... I mean, you're almost sounding like...
I think, you know, there's a sumo wrestling thing that we could get into, you and I. I just saw in the paper, we missed last week's event.
Oh, that's right, the amateur sumo.
Next year.
Mm-hmm. You and I almost could get into an O'Reilly Geraldo thing here.
Mm-hmm. We could do that.
We will not, though. We will not, though, sir. We will not, because I respect you too much to tell you that I think... You're backing the wrong guy with this guy. I'm just telling you that.
With which guy?
With the guy with the money, the Mormon guy.
Wait just a second. Let's put this aside. I made a point because I didn't want anyone to think that this film was an attack itself on this man who's running for president, I think that's a responsible thing to say.
Well, actually, you played the Mormon bishop.
Now, if you want to talk politics, you want to talk individuals and stuff like that, we can have a substantive talk about that.
Would you be willing to?
I don't want to get into this stuff where, you know, these are all Americans. Everybody who's running for president is an American. I would assume we're on their side to some degree.
All right, sir.
Can I agree with that?
Yes. How about this?
Can I get an agreement with that?
Yes, of course we agree with that.
Let's be careful. These are Americans. If I was, you know, we can talk whatever we want to talk on this program, but, you know, these guys are all American people, and they're hardworking public servants, so good luck to them all.
Do you watch American Idol?
Do I watch American Idol? I've seen it a couple of times.
Do you have a particular television program that you watch that you enjoy?
You know, I watch programs that occasionally I watch news programs. I watch the Senate sometimes.
Are you a sports fan? Are you a sports fan?
I am a sportsman. I watched a little bit of when I was doing some work yesterday, I watched a little of the Masters.
Okay, yeah. That's a good thing. Do you have a favorite cuisine?
You try to get me onto some subject.
Here's the deal, John.
I think it's important that we don't upset Don. I really do.
I am not upset.
He's not upset. I'm looking at him. He's not upset.
You're the greatest.
At all.
I still love all of your movies. I love the fact that you're here. You're ready to put on this. Yes, John.
I'm interested in what your mother thinks of this conversation. Did you have a mom that gives you, notes?
I hate my mother, John.
Oh, gosh, Don.
That's true, John, and I'm not saying that because of the thing with you and your daughter. I really do hate my mother.
This is another thing we have to talk about. Oh, gosh. Listen, my mother's passed on, and I tell you, I went through some things with my mom at different times in my life when I was little, arrogant, pup, thought I knew stuff and all of that. And thank God I came around to making all those things right. And she was my best friend by the time she passed. She was my best friend in all the world.
Would you? Can we ask you about your relationship with your daughter now?
You can ask me anything. How is that your show?
Well, how is that going? I mean, you hear a lot about it in the tabloids. You read a lot about it in the press.
Angie and I haven't spoken in a while, but you know, I always send her my love, and I'm always there for her. Right. Absolutely, always there.
Do you see any time in the future where there would be a reconciliation there?
I see. I certainly see it happening, and I hope it happens very quickly, too.
John, I'd like to ask you, as estranged or not from your daughter, what do you think about that slicky boy that she's with right now? Wouldn't you? I mean, you look.
Wait a minute. Which one of you guys are talking now?
That's Don again.
That's Donnie.
This is Don, the slicky boy. What do you have against Brady?
Same thing he has against Mitt.
No, Mitt's got a square head.
What do you? It's Brad is slick. Mitt's got a square head.
Yeah, Brad Pitt is just a slicky boy. Have you had the chance to sit down and meet him, shake his hand?
In Hollywood, I will tell you, in Hollywood, we're all family. We're family.
We're all one damn family.
Okay, because you did that Southern accent, made me think again of the movie The Rainmaker. Can we go back there for a second?
Sure.
Because I love that film. Francis Ford Coppola, am I right?
Yes, that's right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Did I read correctly in that movie, it's based on the John Grisham book, mm-hmm. that they shot the courtroom scenes where they would move the ceilings down for some shots to make it look more dramatic?
You know, absolutely, that's the truth. Whoever said that's its truth.
That's Don again.
You know, Francis is a genius. I don't know what the real definition of genius actually is, except that he's a person who will come up with something that no one ever heard of. And he always, you know, there's always something in the corner of his mind that has to do with technology that he wants to bring to the fore. And we had hydraulics on this thing. It was a huge thing.
Yeah.
And he would actually bring the ceiling down to make it look more claustrophobic. And then he'd bring it up when he wanted the kid to be intimidated by the judge on the stand and stuff like that. I don't know if it actually affected the movie, though, because the way it was shot, I don't think it had much to do with
it's
it.
Fascinating, though. I love the book.
I mean, he has an idea. You know, he has an idea and he follows it through.
And I would be, I really wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you about Deliverance, which is a movie that it impacted me so much to see that film. It looked so grueling. The shooting of that film, to be out there, it just looked so, you know, certain movies can pull it off, certain movies can't. That was so real. Was that a difficult movie to shoot?
That if you can imagine, here we got a couple of young guys. I was youngish then.
Right.
In my 30s, and Burt Young was in his prime, and we had two very good young actors from the regional theater in Washington, actually. These guys came out of the arena stage with Zelda
Hicks. Oh, that's
right.
Chandler.
Mm-hmm. And that's where John Borman, the director, saw them. Anyway, here we're out there in canoes in the river in one of the most beautiful parts of the United States with a camera crew shooting us on this journey. How bad could it be, guys?
Okay, so it wasn't that bad.
But it wasn't that bad. The only thing is that we did, I remember once, we had to get to this location, which was forever into the woods, right? And then we had to drop down, you know, like sometimes we take these rope ladders down to the locations with all the equipment and stuff like that. So we had to get there awfully early in the morning, way before the sun was up. And I remember one time, I was there. It was about 5:30 in the morning. The light then started to come up after we were freezing cold. I'm not going to tell you that story. I'm going to tell you another story.
Why?
No, because listen to this story.
All right.
And and I look up and I see being dropped after they cut the actors down, our chairs are being lowered with big, you know, on ropes. Ronnie Cox, John Voight, Bert Rose. And they follow us around. We're sitting on rocks and logs and they're bringing these chairs down. So finally, the chairs come down. They're there for about 4 or 5 days. And I noticed that Bert is sitting in my chair. Now, there's the name, you know, John Voight, Bert Rose, and I'm sitting on a rock, of course, and I'm looking at him, and I'm saying, what the hell's he doing? And this happens for about 5 days, and finally, it got to me, do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. And I had to say something, so I go up to Bert, I said, Bert, look, I said, we have these chairs down here, we don't need the damn chairs anyway. I said, but I've just noticed that you sit in my chair. Every day. You know what I mean? If, when you sit down, you sit in my chair. What can I ask you? You know, well, can I ask you why you do that? Yeah. And he said, well, of course, John, I'll tell you why I do that. He said, because if I sit in your chair, I can see my name on my chair.
Oh, that's great.
He was waiting for it. You know what I mean? He did it on purpose. He was waiting for me to ask the question.
John Voight is a crazy man, is he not?
He is. He's wonderfully crazy. Yes.
John Voight, I'm speaking of you. I know you're here.
If I'm you're the masters of what's crazy. So if you say so, I must be.
Oh, you're a delightful guy to talk to. You really are.
This movie with John Voight, May 4th is when it opens. It's called September Dawn.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with the guy who's running for president.
Nothing at all.
And John Voight is an American treasure. Even though I'm reading now, you were in Super Babies, Baby Geniuses 2?
Absolutely.
Now, how bad did you need money at that point in your life, sir?
You know what that is? You know what that is? You know, you're such a foul person sometimes. But, you know, the reason why I did that movie, because I love kids, and I thought it was a movie that gave kids encouragement. You know, when they see, little babies kind of battle. successfully against the adult villains. I was the adult villain, and the little babies were making me squirm and do all sorts of silly things. And so the little kids get the idea. They're empowered from it. So I thought that was a great idea. And actually, the little kids like it. The little kids think that movie's a great, hot movie.
You must have.
Little babies. I'm talking about three-year-old kids.
It's like Holes. Same thing.
You must have been thrilled when your daughter broke up with Billy Bob, though, right?
This is a very serious question, and I would expect such a question from guys of your, IQ.
All right.
See, in my world, I would rather have my daughter with Billy Bob than with Brad Pitt.
I'd rather have her with Brad Pitt.
But I got a daughter who's 29 years
old.
Well,
listen, I don't want to get into the, what does your mother say? This is the thing. What does your mother say?
I hate my mother, John.
I know, but what does she say?
She says go to hell. My mother says go to hell.
I can sum it up what my mom says, John, all right? There was one time when we were going to get an affiliate very close to my hometown in New England, mm-hmm. and I called my mom to tell her, and she responded with 90 seconds of silence. Does that sum it up for you?
I guess so.
Okay.
Well, John, it has been a real pleasure talking to you. Really,
And for me too, guys. Really, really,
fantastic talent you are.
You're really a great guy, and join us on the show anytime.
You are
John
great,
Voigt.
John Voigt.
Okay, guys. Much love.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you,
God
John.
God bless you.
Bye
bye.
Bye bye. John Voigt. He's as nutty as a fruitcake.
Oh, he's
he?
Fun. Wow. Do you get the impression we could have done that for
four and a half hours?
He called you Donnie. Movie star John Voigt called you Donnie.
That's right.
Johnny Voigt.
Wanted to sumo wrestle you.
Yes. Johnny Voigt. If only he was more interesting.
And good for us. We did manage to ask about not only Angelina Jolie, but also about Billy Bob.
Yeah.
you got that Billy Bob in there right at the wire.
Oh, he's creepy.
You seriously would prefer Billy Bob to Brad Pitt?
Yep. I trust Billy Bob. How weird does this sound? Yeah. I trust... If it was with my daughter, I would trust Billy Bob Thornton not to break her heart before I would trust Brad Pitt not to break her heart.
Oh, I know why that is. I just figured it out.
Why?
It's the whole Aniston thing. That's what it is.
No, it's nothing to do with Aniston.
It's the Aniston thing that you love. You might not even know it yourself. It's the Aniston thing because
you
love Jennifer Aniston.
No, it's not.
Still have her picture up there?
Yes.
It's there every day.
Yes, every day.
She is the woman of your dreams, is she not?
Yes.
And Brad Pitt broke her heart.
He only ruined her vagina. He only ruined her vagine.
Vagine.
That's all.
Vagine. Come on, Tone.
All right. Well, thank you very much to the great John Voigt.
Bit all over the place, but I thought he was an interesting dude.
Delightful.
Got a break. We'll be right back. Pause.
This is the Don and Mike Show.